I believe that churches can save hours every single week and be more effective at ministry by using AI. Now, that might scare you, but let me share with you the five AI tools that I can't live without here and that my team uses every single week. Let's do this. You're listening to the Reach Right podcast, the show dedicated to helping your church reach more people and grow. Well, hey guys, I'm Thomas.
And I'm Ian.
And today we are talking about five AI tools that every church should be using right now. I'm very excited about this episode, Ian. I think it should be a good one for us to dig into. I'm personally using four of these five.
Wow.
The fifth one, I think, is really good for churches, and a lot of our team is using, and so yeah. I want to talk about that one a little bit. So that'll be the last one, and I think it's probably the one that most churches will get the most benefit from.
That's good.
But yeah, it should be a pretty good conversation. We decided to do this episode because I know that I have been blessed by other people in other spaces making this kind of content and giving me new ideas of new AI tools that I should be running with or playing with or trying out. And these are the ones that I have tried out and worked and actually made a difference for me. Some pretty cool stuff that we were able to do with them. So, yeah. And I guess, Ian, just we'll put this out here in the beginning. Have you used any of the ones that we're going to be talking about here today? I don't think you have, right?
I have not.
It's okay.
No, it's fine. ChatGPT is the one I've been using. And as a company, and we've been talking more about AI, Thomas, and I know it's something that you dove into probably more than anyone else on our team when it was just fresh in its infancy, if you will. But I am excited about it. I've been using it more and more. It's helped me with what I do here on the business development side and everything else for Reach Right and the consulting side. To help other teammates with. So no, but ChatGPT is the one I'm getting more versed with. Who knows? I'll probably from that catapult like you have. I don't know about four. That's kind of impressive. I bet that's more than the average bear out there.
Well, okay. So I think we need to clarify. So
yeah.
When we talk about these kinds of tools, so the term in the industry is these, most of them are wrappers. So what they do is they basically take one of the major AI protocols out there. So the big ones are ChatGPT, which is OpenAI. Yeah. There's another one called Anthropic, which makes one called Claude. Elon Musk and Twitter X, they make Grok. That one. So these are their own models. And then most of these tools are built on the platform of one of these AI tools, basically. So it wouldn't surprise me. I know at least one of them is built on Anthropic. It's just using that. I bet you the rest of them are using either Anthropic or OpenAI to do it. So you're using the right tool in ChatGPT. And I think that's the best place for anybody that's just getting into AI tools and using stuff, that it's a great place to get started. We're going to dig a little bit deeper and I'm going to share. And some of these are so simple, but they have totally changed things for me. We'll just kind of dig in a little bit and I'll tell you about my workflow, some of the things that I'm doing. This is both in Reach Right, but also in my church work. I'm an executive pastor at my church and I use all of these tools, I believe, in both of those kind of situations. So
let's dig in. I'll ask you about the first one, Thomas, which is Whisper Flow.
Yeah. Okay, so this one has been game-changing for me. In fact, you might not even know this, Ian, but since we started this call, not quite when we hit, right before we hit record, I used Whisperflow as an AI tool. So you'll remember that we were doing a little bit of extra research for this, and I just started talking to my computer. I used Whisperflow when I did that. So Whisperflow is, this is an OpenAI tool that is used to transcribe speech into text. I have found there are the tools you could use within ChatGPT and other platforms where you can hit that little microphone button and it'll start to record you. And it's using Whisperflow to do that. It's their product. So when you record your text in ChatGPT, it's using Whisperflow. Okay. So what Whisperflow is, though, is it lets you actually do this in all areas of your online life. So when I do an AI search, I'm on a Windows machine. I'll press Control and the Windows button. And and everything that I say is getting recorded into whatever text box I am on my computer there. So okay. I believe it's only for iPhone right now. So on iPhone, you can hop on and just press the button to start it, and you can speak anything, and it will record it. Now, I want to say this too. It's so much better than like the native voice recorder on iPhone or like Google Assistant. This is actually using AI technology to not just like get the exact words you say, but actually try and get meaning from it. So it'll remove all of your ums and vocal fills and uhs and that kind of stuff.
That's
it'll
cool.
also format it into sentences and paragraphs and sometimes even put headings and number it. If you're kind of talking in a list, it'll give you like a numbered list. It'll do all of the formatting stuff for you. So I find that now I'm doing it for almost all of my emails. Certainly every AI prompt that I'm putting in,
okay.
I'm doing it just verbally when I'm not in a public place. And my kids like to make fun of me. Like I know we've talked before on the podcast about speaking our texts.
Right.
And my kids make fun of me for that. This is like another level. Like, so when I do a prompt, I'm usually kind of verbose. I'll say a lot of words in an AI prompt. So yeah. It might be 200 words or something to really get the prompt right. Rather than typing that out, I can talk probably 5 times faster than I can type. And so it just gets stuff done so much more quickly. So for me in the church world, responding to emails, just inner office communication on Slack or Basecamp, whatever you guys are using there. And then I think also for sermon writing, I know this rubs some people the wrong way. I fully believe in it, but it is okay to kind of get your thoughts down using a tool like this that's just recording and kind of cleaning up the words that you're actually saying. So I have been using it for some of my sermon writing lately, and it has really sped up my workflow quite a bit to not have to type things out or write things. And I think it's a no-brainer to kind of save time. So you tracking with me, Ian? Does that all make sense?
Tracking. Actually, you answered my main question was going to be in there is, for the average pastor out there, how would they apply like WhisperFlow? Like, how would that help? But I'm with you, Thomas, on that. And I'm tracking with you. It's funny. That'd probably be one that I will probably eventually use just based on what you just shared. Because I also get made fun of by my teenagers for, talk to text and everything. But, for me, it makes sense. And I bet they'll end up doing it later. It's just, they're too cool for it now. But it is faster. It's faster and it's more efficient, than me typing out a text and then I make typos or whatever, or, something autocorrects no, that sounds like it's convenient and would be a great
one.
Tool.
Yeah, I think it's so good. And I'll kind of give you some idea. It does cost money. There's a free trial and things. I think it's $10 a month, but for a professional setting, I probably save, I would guess 20 to 30 minutes a day. And so for me, that's kind
deal.
Of a, it makes like, if I'm doing that, it's 10 bucks a month to get that. If I'm saving 20 or 30 minutes a day and not having to type. Now, of course, I do a lot of office work and we do these things. We're writing scripts for videos and coming up with podcast ideas. And like, so obviously we do a lot of writing and content creation and like, we just save time by not having to type these things out. So I think for someone like you do too. So it would probably make sense for you to do it. I'd look into it, and it saved me a ton of time, worth every penny, I'd say.
I think I'm going to apply it for, particularly for emails, like you mentioned. Yeah. So that would be good. So, well, good. Next one, Claude Code. I know you've talked about Claude. You've told me that he, I guess you kind of prefer Claude, or at least at one point you did.
I did. I'd still do, I think, for writing tasks. I still think Claude itself is better, especially Claude Opus. There's two primary Claude models. There's Sonnet and Opus. Opus, I think, is even better. It's the kind of the better model, the latest and greatest. It is still probably better. I think with ChatGPT 5 coming out, it has closed the gap on that. And I think they're pretty close as far as writing. But definitely, I did like Claude. At one point, I would do all of my writing tasks or like kind of content brainstorming things in Claude. But so Claude Code, made by the makers of Claude, which is Anthropic. Okay. This is the scariest one on this entire list, but I want to kind of make a use case for you. I don't mean scary in like that it's going to take over the world. I mean scary in like it's probably the hardest to use of all of these things.
Okay, good for clarifying. So when you say scary in AI, some people can get concerned.
Yeah, well, maybe if you take it to its logical conclusion, you could probably get there. But Yeah, I think that this is going to be the one that maybe you try the other ones first.
Okay.
But this one, I think, is the most powerful tool that I have been using, and it has been, it did something for me that I was just totally floored by, that has been a major problem for me for 7 years. So I'll give you some backstory. But first, let me tell you what Claude Code is. Claude Code is a AI programming tool that lets you just program new software just by giving AI prompts. So you can just verbally make AI like software into creation. Like you can create it. It's almost like in kind of the Genesis account, it's kind of the world was formless and void, and tohu vabohu is how God created everything. You can, I don't want to get there because I don't want to, it's a little sacrilegious in that way, but it has changed things for me, is that I am not by nature a coder, just kind of starting a web brand, a web company. Yeah. When we started out doing websites here at ReachRight.
Yeah.
So I learned to read some code a little bit, but I really want to be clear. That's like very basic HTML and CSS stuff. So it's not anything fancy. I certainly can't write code. But what Claude Code lets you do is create new software just by prompting it the same way that you would AI. So I would use a tool like Whisperflow. I'd talk to it and say, I want to make a program that does this, and give it as much detail as I can. And it gets pretty dang close, if not perfect, a lot of times if it's simple types of projects. So here's a use case for me. So I had... I was pastoring at a church in Madison, Wisconsin from 2013 till 2019. And in that time, I preached something like, I think it came out to 329 or 331 total sermons that I preached in that time frame there. So when I left the church and moved back to home to be closer to family and those things, and take a new role at our church that I'm at now, I wanted to have a kind of archive of all these sermons that I preached. And so I asked the team, hey, can you grab that for me? We didn't have a lot of good data on it. And so they just pulled off this giant group of 329 MP3 files. They had terrible names. They were things just like, Thomas Matthew or something like that. Or it might have said, Thomas on Esther or something like that. Right?
Okay.
So here I have all that, all these files, but they're basically useless to me. What are you going to do with 333 unnamed MP3 files? I had thought for years about it would be really cool to like find someone to help me with a project where I could, and this is like torture, but like make them listen to all 329 of my sermons back to back, transcribe them, maybe give me a summary, those kinds of things.
Oh yeah.
And I thought about like maybe hiring someone. It would have cost thousands of dollars. And I just kind of put that on the table, and then enter Claude Code. I was able to talk to it, and I told it, hey, I'd like to do something. I have 330 sermons, and I'd like you to help me organize them. And through a series of prompts, I got it to transcribe using that Whisperflow tool. I got it to transcribe all of the sermons. So it did it all by itself. I didn't have to speak anything. It listened to the sermons, transcribed them all, and gave me that transcription. And then once I had that transcription, it then sent it into ChatGPT, and ChatGPT turned it into a sermon outline and a brief summary. And then it named the file what the primary passage was that it was preached from. So Matthew chapter 7 verses 21 through 23, something like that. It had a clear formatting. It put them all into folders and put like each sermon has now a transcription, an MP3 file that's named, a summary, and then an outline that I could use to maybe be a tool. It basically serves as a whole new commentary that I made for myself on all of the sermons that I preached. And so I was so floored by that as kind of my process when I'm writing new sermons now. I'll usually go and look, hey, did I preach on this topic before in the past? If I did, maybe I'll listen to what I said before and maybe get some new context, because, after years, you start to forget some of the things that you talked about on certain passages. So as you could probably tell, I'm excited about this. I did it all in Claude Code. Really cool. So one thing I'll say, because kind of as a caveat, and you maybe have some questions on this, but the reason why it's scary as far as the difficulty level is you have to do it all from the command prompt. So, where it's like C colon slash, and then you would like change directories. Okay. And so it's not like a really nice, clean interface. You have to have a little bit of, because I'm as old as I am, I used DOS before I used Windows. And so you have to have a little, like a smidge. Like once you get into it though, you can probably watch a YouTube tutorial to figure it out. But once you're in there, it's just a matter of typing. You just type and tell Claude what you wanted to do. There's no programming needed from there. It took a few extra trial and errors. And yeah, gotcha. Long story short, I got all those sermons categorized for myself. So I don't know. Something I'm passionate about. It totally changed things for me and huge believer. I think there's lots of use cases for other pastors out there now too.
Well, yeah. And I think of maybe the pastor that even has more messages archived than you do, or sure. even just as many or even less, how appealing that is to get them up to date, to get the transcripts. I mean, I know pastors will often re-preach something or pull from something. I mean, this could be something to...
No, we would never.
Yeah, never, right? So, and where you kind of dust off I'm imagining a bookshelf where you just get the old book and you dust it off. And so it's getting that, and like you said, I mean, that is something that normally people would have to pay, like a couple of thousand or more for, right?
So I think I did like the rough math. ChatGPT helped me doing some equations on what it cost to transcribe and all those things. It was like $40,000 is how much it would have done to do this whole project, the amount of time it would have taken for a professional to do all of that. So I could see this
being very appealing to pastors. And now, do you think it's something that, you know, when you mentioned kind of how you have to do it all by voice prompts. And so that took some work. Do you think as this grows, do you think that they can clean that up, you think, or if that's something that would be more convenient, I guess, made more convenient?
I'm totally certain. And actually, I think the next item on here is going to prove that. But it's I think that it is going to get to a place where you are able to build programs just like you talk to ChatGPT now. Okay. And you already can kind of do this. I'm just seeing that Claude Code is way more advanced and just builds much better stuff right now. So that's kind of the thing. And I do want to be clear about this, is that it's not just for organizing sermons. There's anything you can dream as far as a program. Yeah. You can do it with this here. So another use case I had just real briefly is that I am working on for ReachRite, but I think it's a tool for churches, is I've built already a sermon discussion question generator. So you upload your outline or your manuscript or whatever you preached on, and it has a prompt that it basically goes and pulls from ChatGPT and then spits out four discussion questions for our life groups at our church that everybody can use, and we have that done. So no longer it probably would have taken me in the past 30 minutes a week probably just to brainstorm, and probably my questions weren't even as good as the ones that ChatGPT can help me with. So now you could go into ChatGPT and copy and paste, but I find having this kind of like pre-built system with a great prompt already put in to get really honed in questions that are our exact right voice, that's been a huge win for us too. So many different uses for that. Wow. I think every pastor should be, if you're up for it, give it a try. And if you're not, try the next one that we're about to talk
about.
Okay,
and that this next one is Lovable.
Lovable.
Love the name.
Yeah, it is Lovable. So, all right. So Lovable is Claude Code in simple ChatGPT format. You go to the website and it does all of the building for you. You don't need to go on the command prompt. So I separated them out because Lovable is, it's easier, but just like everything, this is like true of all things technology. The easier and more kind of streamlined it is, the less flexible and powerful it is. And that's just always how things work. So Claude Code is more powerful, but Lovable is actually a really great tool that you can use to build some really sophisticated software. One thing that we built here at ReachRite is we built a pastor salary calculator. It's a tool that you can find on our website. If you go to ReachRite,
it is cool.
We pulled all kinds of research from other places. We fed it into Lovable, and we have it basically build the perfect equation for churches in different scenarios. And it actually built an entire calculator where you can figure out what a fair pay is for this role, for this size church in this part of the country, all those, the amount of experience they have, the amount of education they have, all those questions are all filtered in, and then it'll give you a specific salary range recommendation for someone in that role based on real evidence. So yeah. We did that in Lovable. I built a spiritual gift test for my church on Lovable that it really does the whole thing itself. I told it which gifts I wanted it to pull from, and I didn't even like list the gifts. I just said, you know, pull the ones from Romans and 1 Corinthians, and I told it, like, look at those gifts and make a 60-question spiritual gifts test that you can try and figure out. And then it lets people download reports of what their gifts are to learn more and dig in deeper. And so such cool, powerful things you can do with this. It's not as powerful as Claude Code as far as the way you can manipulate things, and it doesn't work on your own hard drive, but Lovable is another great tool. So if you want to dabble in this, and I guess I should probably introduce this term. The term for all of these kinds of things, Claude Code, Lovable, other tools like it, is called vibe coding. It's not actually coding. It's vibe coding. So you're just kind of doing it on vibes. You're just talking to the AI and letting it do all of the coding for you. That's kind of the term that we use in the area, in the industry here. And yeah, I encourage every pastor to start dabbling on it a little bit.
That's interesting. The spiritual gift assessment, how it helped with that. So that might offend some pastors, but really it's not replacing. We know the Holy Spirit's the one who provides the gifts. It's just helping
why would you
find
think,
them.
Like, tell me this use case. What would be offensive to you?
The first thing that popped in my mind is that how for some, not as many now, for some pastors, they just are already apprehensive with AI. So then you mentioned spiritual gifts and they may just assume. Yeah. But again, if they really listen to what you just explained, it's just helping you actually come up with the tool to help people better assess those gifts. So there you go.
That's what it is. And I think like the thing to think about is that, I would never run it live without testing it, right? To make sure that all the answers and, you know, what it defines spiritual gifts as are the same things that I agree on, you know, it'll probably try and put in things, and you'll have to figure it out for your church. If you're a, you know, if you're a spirit-filled church, then, you know, maybe all of the spirit-filled gifts are going to be things you want on there. Yeah. If you're a more conservative church that isn't, you probably don't want like a lot of emphasis, and you'll probably define speaking in tongues differently, for instance.
Right.
So you'll want to make sure you check it. It's not going to be able to do this all in one shot. So you'll want to look at its answers, its questions, and make sure you feel good about it. But yeah, I think if you guide it and you treat it, again, the rule is it has to be your partner, not your leader. Don't let AI lead you. It's your partner. It's your coding helper in this case here. It's not your thought leader. So it's an assistant to your leadership is the main thing to take away from that.
That's cool. Good. Good clarification there. Now, next one's interesting to me because it's we kind of have a similar service to these guys here, but when I say these guys, it's a company called Sermon Shots. And I think a lot of people have probably heard of them. We've talked to these guys, great guys. I know you had actually, if I'm recalling right, Thomas, didn't you have a personal conversation with, was it the owner of Sermon Shots or someone?
Yeah, good
someone
people. I love those guys there at Sermon Shots. Yeah. So to bring you up to speed, Sermon Shots is a tool where you upload or provide a link to a video sermon that you have done at your church, and then it will then take it, it'll process, find the best clips from it, and then turn it into short form vertical videos that you can put on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook Reels, Instagram Reels, and YouTube Shorts. It does all of this for you. It takes like 20 minutes. It's pretty amazing when you look at it. So you just load in your YouTube sermon or something, and then it pulls out a 45-second clip that's usually pretty decent. It has captions on it that are color-coded and everything and look great, and it you can set it to music and just does all kinds of really cool stuff that it does. And it takes what would take a long time for a professional to do and just does it for you. It pulls these things out. Now, I will say that today it's not as good as someone that is really good as a video editor. It's not as good at finding the clips or editing them as well as someone that's professionally doing this can do. So if you're looking, I think it's a great tool if you're looking just to get started in this area, right? So if you want to just get some content out there that's decent, I think it's probably 75% of the way there. It's nothing I would be embarrassed about. Oh, I'll say it usually gives you like 10 clips. okay. when you put out your sermon. And some of them I would be embarrassed to put out there. They're just, that didn't really work. Or maybe the AI sure. had a little hiccup or something. But yeah. usually I find that one or two of them are like, yeah, that's all right. Like it took a good portion of my sermon and like yeah. it made it look good. It captioned it right. All the words look good. And yeah. it just one shots all that. It takes care of it all for you. So I think that it's something that for a lot of churches, I think especially smaller churches, it's not yeah. really that expensive. And it just tackles this big thing that's such a huge opportunity for so many churches. Right. So right. you mentioned, Ian, that like, yeah, we do have a service that's like this. Yeah. I'll let you maybe talk about that a little bit. And
ours is Sermon Sling. And the difference is, for the right kind of church, this is something, I guess one word we would use is something a little more custom. It's something we put, it's not just a one-shot attempt. We actually do have a video editing team. And for those that follow our podcast and watch our videos, that's our team doing that behind-the-scene works at work and what you see out there. So they actually will watch messages in their entirety and can even pull a few different things and customize it a little bit more. So we, little more time consuming, but definitely more, I would say customized and more fine tailored. So, yeah.
Yeah. So it's several multiples more expensive than doing like a sermon shots approach, just because it's like having a real human, you know, spend 45 minutes watching your sermon, taking notes and finding the thing that they
for
like
some
the best.
Pastors longer, but
maybe an hour. We should have like an upcharge for that's guys right. that preach for over 45 minutes, probably.
My church can't use it then. Yeah. No, go ahead.
So, you know, they have to take notes and find the clips they think would be best. They're sometimes doing two or three different clips out of every sermon is the goal.
Yeah.
And then they have to actually clip it and then set it to music and caption it and then cut it perfectly. So we take out all of the ums and sometimes even like put two clips that weren't like perfectly together, put them back together. And not, you know, just there's lots of editing. We put in B-roll footage sometimes that has the things that the pastor is talking about displayed. So it's definitely a better finished product. But, you know, the question you have to ask is like for, you know, considerably less money and it gets you 75% of the way there. Yep. Maybe it's a good use case there. So love what they're doing at Sermon Shots. It's not perfect yet. There are other non-church versions of this.
Yep.
The biggest being a company called Opus Clip. We've done some content about them before. They do some really good stuff. So we did actually, I'll mention this. We did a whole video, David on our video editing team here, about the differences in the different sermon editors or different AI sermon editors. So you'll want to watch that. I'll leave a link to that up there. It probably would be a good resource if you're looking for one of those tools. Sermon Shots is one of many, but love what they're doing there.
Good stuff. Next one, Canva Magic, last but not least.
Yeah, this is the one that I don't really use much, but I was assured by my team that, Thomas, you have to include this one because it's something that has totally changed our workflow on stuff. So if your church has a creative team, so that would be, in my view, people that are doing any kind of communications, people that are doing social media posting, video editing, any of this kind of stuff, chances are they're already using Canva. Like, here's kind of a secret is we have all these super professional designers that are really good on our retry team, and they're all great at really sophisticated tools. I'm talking like the Adobe Suite and DaVinci Resolve and, you know, all the different tools like that you can use to professionally do design. They spend like half their time in Canva when they're trying to churn out things quickly.
Yeah.
If you're trying to do simple graphics for social media or simple illustrations, even for some of our videos, they are using Canva to do that. And what the Canva Magic AI tool has done is it's just automated a lot of the different steps that they were doing manually, and they're able to actually just pull in AI tools to make things happen much more quickly. So this is everything from like background removal tools to getting some of those cool effects, like getting people to have the text go behind them, but in front of their backgrounds, to even image generation and using some of those tools in there. It's a whole suite of like, I think there's like 14 different things that are in the whole suite of AI tools that they have within Canva. But I think it's something that every church, you're probably doing something in Canva already. You definitely want to be looking into their AI tools because I think it'll be a big time saver.
It's good stuff. Good stuff, Thomason.
Awesome. What do you want to use, Ian? Which of these are most intrigued you?
You know, I would say probably Whisperflow stuck out to me probably the most as far as being a good segue from ChatGPT. So, in helping with emails and those things. So that sounded like that's probably where I'll evolve to in my AI journey here. So
yeah, you'll find it doesn't even really feel like AI. You forget that you're using AI to do it pretty quickly. It's just something that it becomes second nature. You just press these two buttons and then you start talking and then it's on your screen. It's a really good way to get your input into the systems here. So good stuff. I hope this has been helpful to you guys. Yeah. If you're using a tool that we probably didn't talk about, we only talked about five, and there's so many of them nowadays. So I would love to hear what the ReachRite family is using out there. So drop us a link or just kind of a name in the description. I'm sorry, in the comments below. I'd love to hear what you're using. If you disagree with any of this, or you think maybe we're wrong to make spiritual gift tests using AI or something like that, let us know. We love critique, and we sometimes make videos about them. And give you our feedback on your critique. So if you do have some comments, let us know down below.
We do laugh at some of the critique, so that's fine. But keep them coming.
Fair warning on that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So thanks for being a part of the ReachRite family. We'll see you next time.
See ya.